Good evening. You're listening to Joe's Garage. My name's Joe. Thanks for joining me tonight. Hope you're having a great start to your week. Got a lot of great music lined up for you tonight, so make sure you stick around. I have a track from a new artist, a group by the name Mama, to come. But up first, well, the first edition, and they just wanted to check in to see what condition your condition is in. Keep it tuned in here, Joe's Garage Radio.
Yeah, what condition my condition was in. I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
We'll be right back.
From a group by the name of Mama. That was their song Speeding 72. You're listening to Joe's Garage Radio. Hope you're having a great start to your week. Got a lot of great music in store. I have a soulful African track to come, a group by the name of the Jado Sisters. So stick around for that. Got a classic track from the Beatles on the way, but up next, the Viagra Boys have put out a new album. So we'll be taking a listen to a song from theirs called Man Made of Meat. Keep it tuned in here, Joe's Garage Radio.
Chat program.
It feels great.
I don't want to pay for an
Ooh, 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 the one I need.
deceased artists, the Linjato Sisters. That track titled Come On Home, recorded in Kenya back in the mid-1970s. Real soulful track. Absolutely love that kind of feel. All right, you're listening to Joe's Garage. Coming up, I've got some Man on the way. Also got a track from The Clash. But up next, this is an artist, a group I've been listening to a lot lately. Really, really into them. This is Castle Rat with their song, Cry For Me.
Baby,
With their song, Know Your Rights. It's your right to stay tuned in here to Joe's Garage Radio, where I got a lot of great music lined up. Hope you're having a great night. Coming up, I have Ramones track on the way. Also, a cover of a song by a group called Starcrawler to come. But up next, here's Rocky Erickson with I Walked With a Zombie.
I walk with a zombie.
Ramones there with their song Bonzo Goes to Blitzburg. Before that, we had a group by the name of Star Crawler doing their cover of a Ramones song, Pet Sematary. A little earlier was Rocky Erickson with I Walked with a Zombie Last Night. Hope you're not feeling too drained and like a zombie here, beginning of the week. You've been listening to Joe's Garage Radio. Got a couple more tracks to end off the hour here for you tonight. Getting a little bit more soulful, I have a French group on the way, Nouvelle Rouge, to come. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation of that, but hey, I got a C in French that was good enough to pass. But up next, here is Mary Clayton. Mary Clayton, a soul singer, classic R&B. She was the featured background vocalist in the Rolling Stones song Gimme Shelter. This is her rendition as lead, Mary Clayton with Gimme Shelter. Keep it tuned in here, Joe's Garage.
Yeah.
Nouvelle Vogue there, a French group, doing their cover of Ecstasy's Making Plans for Nigel. Well, this has been Joe's Garage. Hope you've had a good start of your week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the music. And, well, catch you next week.
Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. Beware of telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you. Callers threatening you with arrest or other legal action and demanding money are not from us. If you receive a call like this, hang up. Do not provide them with any form of payment or information. Report the call at oig.ssa.gov.
As many Zionist leaders acknowledge privately, if not always publicly, anybody would oppose such a thing. Right? Any indigenous population would resist such a thing. And the more far-sighted and hard-headed of the Zionist leaders were already saying very clearly in the 1920s, of course the Arabs will oppose us. And there's no peaceful resolution to this in sight, and the only thing that will decide this is superior force.
That's Zachary Lachman. And this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Zachary Lachman on a brief history of Zionism. Zion is the name of a hill in ancient Jerusalem. The Jewish nationalist movement coined the term Zionism in the 1890s. Zionism got the big power backing it was looking for when Britain issued the Balfour Declaration on November 2, 1917. Arthur James Balfour, the British Foreign Secretary, stated, "His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people." This declaration became the major legal cornerstone for Zionist claims to Palestine. Two issues complicated things. At the time, 90% of Palestine's population was Arab Muslim and Christian, and only 10% Jewish. And the British were signing away land that was not theirs. Our guest today is Zachary Lachman. He's professor of Middle Eastern Studies and History at New York University. He's the author of many books, and he's contributing editor to Middle East Report. This classic from the AR archives was recorded at NYU in 2010. And now, Zachary Lachman, A Brief History of Zionism.
I think we can see Zionism as one of a whole series of different and often conflicting responses by Jews in Europe, and especially in Central and Eastern Europe, where most of the Jews lived at the time, to the situation they found themselves in the late 19th century. The great majority of Europe's Jews and of the world's Jews at that time lived in Tsarist Russia, within the Tsarist Empire, where they were discriminated against, often persecuted as Jews, and were also extremely poor in their great majority. In the process of figuring out how to respond to this situation, Zionism was one tendency that emerged. There were lots of others, and others that were much more popular at the time and for decades afterwards. For example, from the 1880s onward, after the wave of anti-Jewish pogroms that erupted in Tsarist Russia, millions of Jews picked up and left. They voted with their feet in a sense and went to other places where they hoped they could live lives that were not subject to persecution and discrimination and find economic opportunity, escape from the terrible poverty in which most Jews in the Tsarist Empire were enmeshed. And this is when we get the mass migration of Jews from Eastern Europe to the United States, and to a lesser extent to Western Europe, South Africa, Argentina, and so forth. And in this sense, Jews were part of a vast wave of millions of emigrants out of Eastern and Central and Southern Europe, most of them non-Jews, escaping poverty, seeking opportunity, in some cases seeking religious or national freedom. So this was one very powerful response. A great many Jews in Eastern Europe stuck to the old ways. They continued to live deeply religious lives. They felt that whatever they endured was God's will, and as long as they lived in accordance with the laws of the Torah, God's commandments as they saw it, this is how it had to be, even as they tried to get through day to day. In Russia and elsewhere, many Jews abandoned the old ways. They felt that the old laws, the old religious commandments, were no longer relevant to their new lives. This period witnessed the spread of education, urbanization, very rapid demographic growth, and many, many Jews escaped the tutelage, the domination of their rabbis and their close-knit, tightly controlled communities, and became much more secular and sought advancement either through education, although that didn't get you very far in Tsarist Russia. There were limits to how far Jews could advance. Or they turned to movements for social change. Jews were just one of many oppressed nationalities in Tsarist Russia. And, of course, the great bulk of the population were oppressed in class terms. The great bulk of the peasant population were ruthlessly exploited by their landlords and the urban working class, which was growing very rapidly. So many Jews joined the clandestine movements, parties, organizations that fought to end Tsarist oppression, to overthrow the Tsarist regime and create a democratic and socialist Russia in which Jews with all the other oppressed nationalities would have equal rights. And this is why Jews played a very disproportionate role, a very disproportionately large role in all the movements of opposition to the Tsarist regime, including the left-wing movements, the socialist movements, including ultimately the Bolshevik movement. If we look at the Russian Revolution, the October Revolution, which brought the Bolsheviks to power in 1917, not Lenin, of course, who was the preeminent leader of the Bolsheviks, but most of his top lieutenants were Jewish. And this is because of the double oppression to which Jews were subjected in Tsarist Russia as Jews and as poor people, as poor working people. So we have a whole set of responses ranging from the hope for assimilation through education, the eradication of anti-Semitism, to revolutionary change, to emigration, to sticking to the old ways. And of course, among all those tendencies, you have the emergence of Jewish nationalism, which comes to be called in the 1890s Zionism. And this, too, is not very surprising. If you look what goes on in Europe, across Europe, in the 19th century, this is the age of nationalism. This is the age in which one people after another develop new forms of national identity and come to feel that it's no longer acceptable for them to be ruled by people they come by empires, by states they come to see as alien and oppressive. And so in Italy, in Germany, in Greece, in Serbia, in Poland, across, and these, of course, are not nation states at the time. They're empires. They're ruled by others. You have nationalist movements which seek to establish independent nation states for this new category of people, which is usually defined by its language. Right? Before the 19th century, the idea that everybody who spoke German should be in one Germany would not have occurred to anyone. Or the idea that everybody who spoke Italian in all its dialects should be within one nation state called Italy, and that nation state should be independent of the rule of Austria or the other outside powers that dominate it, would not have occurred to anyone. People would not even have defined themselves as Italian first and foremost. But in the course of the 19th century, this idea of nationalism spreads very rapidly and challenges or disrupts and undermines all the old multi-ethnic polyglot empires, the Tsarist Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the German Empire, certainly challenges them and helps lead to their collapse at the end of the First World War. So it's no surprising in this situation that some Jews began to feel that what they too needed to escape from anti-Semitism, to achieve equality within Europe, was a nation state of their own. This was a minority movement. There were, before the 1880s, that you can find a few voices who begin to talk about this. Most religious Jews had no interest in this because from their point of view, one had to wait, a proper Jew had to wait for the coming of the Messiah to escape exile, to escape persecution. And only when the Messiah came and the end of days arrived, could Jews be restored to their ancestral homeland. The house of David would be restored and we'd have what Christians would later call the kingdom of heaven on earth. So religious Jews were not interested in political projects of this kind. Certainly socialist Jews were also not interested. They wanted to change the societies they lived in so the Jews would have equal rights and better opportunities and be able to be full members of their society. And the many Jews in Central and Western Europe who had achieved legal equality in Germany and France and Britain and elsewhere also wanted to be part of their society. They wanted to be full citizens of liberal democracies. And the idea that they should pick themselves up and go somewhere else to try to achieve that seemed to them counterproductive or counterintuitive. In fact, it seemed to them to be accepting the basic arguments of the anti-Semites, who said the Jews were not part of European society or not part of German or French or British or whatever society, that they were aliens and didn't really belong. And that's exactly what many secularized, fairly assimilated Jews had been fighting to overcome. So Zionism was very much a minority movement. It got a little bit of traction in Eastern Europe in the 1880s and 90s as part of the reaction to the wave of anti-Semitic violence, aided and abetted in many cases by the Tsarist government, which was quite viciously anti-Semitic. And you begin to have in the 1880s, 90s,